Resurrection of the Dead and Eternal Judgment, Part 4, by John Bunyan. This sermon was created with an artificial voice for the audiobook initiative on Sermon Audio. There may be mispronunciations or occasional repetitions. To report a mistake, please email us at info@sermonaudio.com and include the sermon ID or title of the message and the time at which the error occurs. We will do our best to get it corrected for future listeners. And the books were opened. First, the book of the creatures shall be opened, and that first, it concerns man's nature, and next, as it relates to all other creatures. 1. He will show in what the principles of nature were, as they were God's creation, and how contrary to these principles the world have walked, acted, and done. The principles of nature are concluded under three general heads. 1. That man by his own natural reason and judgment may gather that there is a God, a deity, a chief or first or principal being who is over all and supreme above all. This instinct, I say, man merely as he is a rational creature findeth in himself, and hence it is that all heathens that mind their own natural reason do conclude that we are his offspring, that is, his creation and workmanship, that he made heaven and earth, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, that in him we live and move and have our being, etc. It appears further that man by his own nature doth know that there is such a God, one. By his being able to judge by nature that there is such a thing as sin, as Christ saith, "Why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right?" As if he had said, "You are degenerated even from the principles of nature and right reason," as Paul saith in another place, "doth not even nature itself teach you?" Now he that can judge that there is such a thing as sin, it must of necessity be that he understandeth that there is a God to whom sin is opposite. For if there be no God, there is no sin against him, and he that knows not the one knows not the other. 2. It is evident further that man by nature knows that there is a God by those fits of fear and dread that are often begotten in themselves, even in every man that breatheth in this world. For they are by their own consciences and thoughts convicted and reproved, judged and condemned, though they know neither Moses nor Christ. For the Gentiles which have not the law, these are a law to themselves, and show the work of the law written in their hearts. That is, by this very thing, they hold forth to all men that God created them in that state and quality, that they might in and by their own nature judge and know that there is a God. And it further showeth itself, saith he, by those workings of heart, convictions of conscience, and accusations, that every thought maketh within them, together with the fear that is begotten in them, when they transgress, or do those things that are irrational or contrary to what they see they shall do. I might add further, that the natural proneness that is in all men to devotion and religion, that is, of one kind or another, doth clearly tell us, that they by the book of nature, which book is themselves, do read that there is one great and eternal God. 2. The second principle of nature is that this God should by man be sought after, that they might enjoy communion with him forever. As I said before, the light of nature showeth man that there is a great God, even God that made the world. And the end of it showing him this is that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. 3. This light of nature teacheth that men between themselves should do that which is just and equal. As Moses said, "And that long before the law was given, sirs, ye are brethren, why do you wrong one another?" As who should say, "You are of equal creation, you are the same flesh, you both judge that it is not equally done of any to do you wrong, and therefore ought to judge by the same reason." that ye ought not to wrong one another. Now against every one of these three principles hath every man in the whole world transgressed. As Paul saith, for both Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. For as touching the first one, who is he that hath honored, reverenced, worshipped, and adored the living God to the height both of what they saw in him, and also according to the goodness and mercy they have as men receive from him? All have served and worshipped the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever, and so have walked contrary to, and have sinned against, this bond of nature. In this first principle of it, 2. Men, instead of minding their own future happiness, as nature teacheth, they have, through their giving way to sin and Satan, minded nothing less. For though reason teacheth all men to love that which is good and profitable, yet they, contrary to this, have loved that which is hurtful and destructive. Yea, though sense teacheth to avoid the danger that is manifest, yet man, contrary to reason and sense both, even all men, have both against light and feeling, rejected their own happiness. As Paul saith, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. 3. Man, instead of doing equity, and as he would be done by, which nature itself teacheth, he hath given up himself to vile affections, being filled by refusing the dictates of nature with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant, breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. And observe it, he doth not say, that all these things are by every man put into practice. But every man hath all these in his heart, which there defile the soul, and make it abominable in the sight of God. They are filled with all unrighteousness, which also appears, as occasion serveth, sometimes one of them, sometimes more. Now man, having sinned against that natural light, judgment, reason, and conscience that God hath given him, therefore, though, as I said before, he neither knew Moses nor Christ, yet he shall perish, as many saith Paul, as have sinned without law, shall also perish without law. Yea, here will man be found not only a sinner against God, but an opposer of himself, a contradictor of his own nature, and one that will not do that which he judgeth even of himself to be right. Their sin is written upon the tables of their own heart, and their own wickedness and backsliding shall both correct and reprove them. It is marvelous if we consider how curious a creature man was made of God, to behold how much below, besides, and against that state and place, man acts and does in this state of sin and degeneracy. Man in his creation was made in the image of God, but man, by reason of his yielding to the tempter, hath made himself the very figure and image of the devil. Man by creation was made upright and sinless, but man by sin hath made himself crooked and sinful. Man by creation had all the faculties of his soul at liberty to study God his Creator and his glorious attributes and being. But man by sin hath so bound up his own senses and reason, and hath given way for blindness and ignorance of God, so to rein in his soul, that now he is captivated and held bound in alienation and estrangedness, both from God and all things truly spiritually good. Because, saith he, that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And again, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. Now for this abuse of the workmanship of God, Shall man be brought forth to the judgment, shall be convicted, cast, and condemned as a rebel against both God and his own soul, as Paul affirmeth, and that when he reasoned but as a man, when this part of the book touching man's nature is opened, and man convicted and cast by it, by reason of his sinning against the three general principles thereof, too. Then forthwith is the second part of the book opened, which is the mystery of the creatures, for the whole creation that is before thee are not only made to show the power of God in themselves, but also to teach thee and to preach unto thee both much of God and thyself, as also the righteousness and justice of God against sin. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. 1. The creation then of the world, namely, of the heavens, earth, sun, moon, stars, with all other the creatures of God, they preach aloud to all men the eternal power and Godhead of their Creator. In wisdom he hath made them all to be teachable and carrying instruction in them. And he that is wise and will understand these things, even he shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. For the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. 2. As the creation in general preacheth to every man something of God, so they do hold forth how man should behave himself both to God and one to another, and will assuredly come in the judgment against all those that shall be found crossers and thwarters of what God by the creatures doth hold forth to us. 1. As first, the obedience of the creatures, both to God and thee. A. To God they are all in subjection, set devils and men aside, even the very dragons and all deeps, fire, hail, snow, and vapors, fulfilling his word. Yea, the winds and seas obey him. Thus I say, by their obedience to God they teach thee obedience, and by their obedience shall thy disobedience be condemned in the judgments. B. Their obedience to thee also teacheth thee obedience to all superiors, for every kind of beasts and of birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed and brought into obedience by mankind. Man only remains untamed and unruly, and therefore by these is condemned. The fruitfulness of all the creatures in their kind doth teach and admonish thee to a fruitful life to Godward, and in the things of his holy word. God did but say in the beginning, Let the earth bring forth fruits, grass, herbs, trees, beasts, creeping things, and cattle after their kind. And it was so. But to man he hath sent his prophets, rising early, and sending them, saying, Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they will not obey. For if the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by some acts of obedience, condemn the wickedness of those who do by the letter and circumcision, break the law, how much more shall the fruitfulness of all the creatures come in the judgment against the whole world? As Job saith, By the obedience and fruitfulness of the creatures he judgeth, and so will judge the people. 3. The knowledge and wisdom of the creatures do with a check command thee to be wise, and do teach thee wisdom. The stork in the heaven, the swallow, and the crane, by observing the time and season of their coming, do admonish thee to learn the time of grace and of the mercy of God. The ox and the ass, by the knowledge they have of their master's crib, do admonish thee to know the bread and table of God, and both do and shall condemn thy ignorance of the food of heaven. 4. The labor and toil of the creatures doth convict thee of sloth and idleness. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. For she provideth her food in the summer, and layeth up against the day of trial. But thou spendest the whole summer of thy life in wasting both time and soul. All things are full of labor, saith Solomon. Only man spendeth all the day idle, and his years like a tale that is told. The coney is but a feeble folk, yet laboreth for a house in the rock. To be safe from the rage of the hunter, the spider also taketh hold with her hands, and is in kings' palaces. It is man only that turneth himself upon the bed of sloth, as the door doth itself upon the hinges. 'Tis man, I say, that will neither lay hold on the rock Christ, as the coney doth teach, nor lay hold on the kingdom of heaven, as the spider doth bid him. 5. The fear that is in all creatures when they perceive that danger is near, it teacheth men to fly from the wrath to come. In vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. But man only is the foolhardy creature, that lieth wait for his own blood, and that lurketh privily for his own life. How, I say, will every creature fly, run, strive, and struggle to escape the danger it is sensible of? 'Tis man only that delighteth to dance about the mouth of hell, and to be knowingly smitten with Satan's snare. 6. The dependence that all the creatures have upon God, they teach thee to depend on him that made thee. Yea, and will in the judgment condemn thee for thy unlawful practices, and dealings for thy preservation. The young ravens seek their food from God, and will condemn thy lying, cheating, overreaching, defrauding, and the like. They provide neither storehouse nor barn, but thou art so greedy of these things, that thou for them shuttest thyself out of the kingdom of heaven. 7. The love and pity that is in their hearts to their young and one another will judge and condemn the hard-heartedness that is in thee to thy own soul. What shall I say? The heaven shall reveal his iniquity, and the earth shall rise up against him. That is, all the creatures of God, they will, by their fruitfulness and subjection to the will of their Creator, judge and condemn thee for thy disobedience and rebellion against him. 3. Now, as these creatures do every day call unto thee, and lay before thee these things, so he hath for thy awakening, in case thou be asleep and senseless, creatures of another nature, as one thy bed, when thou liest down in it, preacheth to thee thy grave. Thy sleep, thy death, and thy rising in the morning, thy resurrection to judgment. 2. The jail that thou seest with thine eyes, and the felons that look out at the grate, they put thee in mind of the prison of hell, and of the dreadful state of those that are there. 3. The fire that burns in thy chimney, it holds forth the fire of hell unto thee. 4. The ugly smell, stench, and steam of the burning brimstone, it shows thee the loathsome, odious, and dreadful torments of hell. 5. The darkness of the night in solitary places, and the fears that do commonly haunt those that walk therein. It preacheth to thee the fears and frights, the scares and amazements, that will forever attend all damned souls. 6. By thy delighting when thou art cold, to lay sticks on the fire to warm thyself, not caring how fiercely they flame therein, so thou canst be warm and be refreshed thereby. With what delight he will burn sinners in the flames of hell, for the easing of his mind and the satisfaction of his justice. Ah, saith he, I will ease me of mine adversaries, and avenge me of mine enemies. 4. Yea, by thy blowing the fire, that it may fasten upon the wood the better, thou preachest to thyself how God will blow the fire of hell by the rigor of his law, to the end it may by its flames to purpose kindle upon damned sinners. All these things, as inconsiderable and unlikely as they may appear to you now, yet in the judgment will be found the items and warning words of God to your souls. And know that he who could overthrow the land of Egypt with frogs, lice, flies, locusts, etc., will overthrow the world at the last day by the book of the creatures, and that by the least and most inconsiderable of them, as well as by the rest. This book of the creatures, it is so excellent and so full, so easy and so suiting the capacity of all, that there is not one man in the world but is catched, convicted, and cast by it. This is the book that he who knows no letters may read in, yea, and that he who neither saw New Testament nor Old may know both much of God and himself by. 'Tis this book, out of which generally both Job and his friends did so profoundly discourse of the judgments of God, and that out of which God himself did so convincingly answer Job. Job was as perfect in this book as we are, many of us, in the Scriptures. Yea, and could see further by it than many nowadays do see by the New Testament and Old. This is the book out of which both Christ, the prophets, and apostles do so frequently discourse by their similitudes, proverbs, and parables, as being the most easy way to convince the world, though by reason of their ignorance, nothing will work with them, but what is said on their heart by the Holy Ghost. One word further, and I have done with this, and that is, God hath sealed the judgment of the world by the book of the creatures, even by man's own carriage unto such of them, which, through any impediment, have disappointed his expectations. As thus, if thou hast but a tree in thy orchard, that neither beareth fruit, nor aught else that is good, why thou art for hewing it down, and for appointing it as fuel for the fire. Now thou little thinkest that by thy thus judging thou shouldst pass sentence upon thy own fruitless soul, but it is so. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, and cast into the fire. For as truly as thou sayest of thy fruitless tree, cut it down, why doth it cumber the ground? So truly doth thy voice cause heaven to echo again upon thy head, cut him down, why doth he cumber the ground? Further, the inclination of thy heart towards fruitless and unprofitable creatures doth forepreach to thee the inclination of the heart of God towards thee in the judgment. If thou hast either cow or any other beast that is now unprofitable to thee, though thou mayest suffer them for some time to be with thee, as God suffereth sinners in the world, yet all this while thy heart is not with them, but thou wilt take thy time to clear thy hands of them. Why, just so shall thy judgment be, as God saith, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, that is to pray me to spare this people. Yet my mind could not be towards this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. Thus I say, will God judge the world at the last day? He will open before them how they have degenerated and gone back from the principles of nature in which he created them. Also, how they have slighted all the instructions that he hath given them, even by the obedience, fruitfulness, wisdom, labor, fear, and love of the creatures. And he will tell them that as to their judgment, they themselves have decided it, both by their cutting down that which was fruitless, and by the withdrawing of their hearts from those things which to them were unprofitable. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. As men deal with weeds and rotten wood, so will God deal with sinners in the day of judgment, and will bring in, I say, all the counsels and warnings he hath given men by these things, both to clear up and to aggravate their judgment to them. Second, the second book that will be opened at this day, it will be the book of God's remembrance. For as God hath in his remembrance recorded all and every particular good thing that his own people hath done to, and for his name while they were in this world, so he hath in his remembrance recorded all the evil and sin of his adversaries, even everything, Now God's remembrance is so perfect every way that it is impossible that anything should be lost that is committed to it to be kept and brought forth to the judgment at the time appointed. For as 1,000 years are but as yesterday with his eternity, so the sins that have been committed thousands of years since, they are all so firmly fixed in the remembrance of the eternal God that they are always as fresh and clear in his sight. As if they were but just now in committing, he calleth again the things that are past, and hath set our most secret sins in the light of his countenance. As he also saith in another place, hell itself is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering, that is, the most secret, cunning, and hidden contrivances of the most subtle of the infernal spirits, which yet are far more slithy than men, to hide their wickedness. Yet I say, all their ways, hearts, and most secret doings are clear to the very bottom of them in the eyes of the great God. All things are open and bare before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart? Ye that say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, O ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? That is, when he is committing wickedness, saith the Lord, do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. Now to know and see things, it is the cause among men of their remembrance. Wherefore God to show us that he will remember all our sins if we die out of Christ, he tells us, that he knoweth and seeth them all, and therefore must needs remember them. For as is his sight and knowledge, so is his remembrance of all things. When this book of his remembrance therefore is opened, as it shall be in the judgment, then shall be brought forth of their hidden holes all things, whatsoever have been done since the world began, whether by kingdoms in general, or persons in particular. Now also shall be brought forth to open view all the transactions of God and his Son among the sons of men, and everything shall be applied to every particular person in equity and justice. To whom they belong, the sins that thou hast committed shall be thy own, and thou thyself shalt bear them. The Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. It will be marvelous to behold how by thousands and 10,000s God will call from their secret places those sins that one would have thought had been dead and buried and forgotten. Yea, how he will show before the Son such things so base and so horrid that one would think it was not in the hearts of any to commit. For all is recorded in the book of God's remembrance. While men are here, they have 1,000 tricks to present themselves one to another, far more fair and honest than they are or ever were. As Christ said to the Pharisees, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts. Aye, God knoweth indeed what a nest, what a heap, what swarms. Yea, what legions of hellish wickednesses there are with power lurking, like cockatrices, in those men, that one would swear 1,000 times, are good and honest men. The way of men in their sins, it is like an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid, saith Solomon, that is, hiddenly, closely, covertly, burying all under fair pretenses, wipeth their mouths in the clothes of their evil, saying, I have done no wickedness. But this, though it may serve for the time present, and no longer, God will not be deluded, nor blinded, nor mocked, nor put off. They consider not that I remember all their wickedness, saith he, but I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Here will be laid open the very heart of Cain the murderer, of Judas the traitor, of Saul the adversary of David, and of those that under pretenses of holiness have persecuted Christ, his word, and people. Now shall every drunkard, whoremaster, thief, and other wicked person be turned their inside outward, their hearts right open, and every sin with every circumstance of place, time, person with whom, with the causes also that drew them to the commission of every evil, be discovered to all. Here will be no hiding yourselves behind curtains, nor no covering yourselves with the black and dark night. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, O God, darkness hideth not from thee. But the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. The piercing eye of God beholds all places, persons, and things. The holy hand of his justice writeth them down in the book of his remembrance, and by his power and wisdom will he open and read to all men exactly, distinctly, and convincingly, whatever hath passed from them or been done by them in their whole life. For all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Again, as God will bring out of the book of his remembrance whatever hath passed from thee against him, so also will he then bring forth by the same book all things and carriages of his towards thee. Here will he bring to thy mind every sermon thou hast heard, every chapter thou hast read, every conviction thou hast had on thy conscience, and every admonition that hath been given thee in all thy life when thou wast in the land of the living. Now will God lay open before thee what patience he extended to thee, how he let thee live 1 year, 2 years, 10, yea, 20 and 20 years, and all to try thee. Yea, now also will he bring to thy view how many times he warned, rebuked, threatened, and chastised thee for thy wickedness, how many awakening providences and judgments he continually laid before thy face. Yea, how many a time thou didst, like Balaam, run upon the point of the sword of justice, and how he gave back as being loath to kill thee. Now also again shall be brought before thee and all men how many strugglings God had with thy heart on thy sickbed to do thee good. Yea, and at such times, how many vows, promises, engagements, and resolutions thou madest before God to turn, if he would release thee from thy affliction and take off his rod from thy back. And yet, how thou didst, like the man possessed, break and snap in twain all these chains of iron with which thou hadst bound thy soul, and that for a very lust and sin. Here also will be opened before thee how often thou hast sinned against thy light and knowledge, how often thou hast laid violent hands on thy own conscience, how often thou hast labored to put out that light that hath stood in thy way to hinder thee from sinning against thy soul. Ah, Lord, what a condition will the Christless soul be in at this day? How will every one of these things afflict the damned soul? They will pierce like arrows, and bite like serpents, and sting like an adder. With what shame will that man stand before the judgment seat of Christ, who must have all things he hath done against God, to provoke the eyes of his glory to jealousy? Laid open before the whole host of the heavenly train, it would make a man blush to have his pockets searched for things that are stolen in the midst of a market, especially if he stand upon his reputation and honor. But thou must have thy heart searched, the bottom of thy heart searched, and that, I say, before thy neighbor whom thou hast wronged, and before the devils whom thou hast served. Yea, before God whom thou hast despised, and before the angels, those holy and delicate creatures whose holy and chaste faces will scarce forbear blushing while God is making thee vomit up all thou hast swallowed. For God shall bring it out of thy belly. For as for God to forget iniquity is one of the chief heads of the covenant of grace, and is an argument of the highest nature. to beget and to continue consolation in the godly, so the remembrance of iniquity by the Lord, it is one of the heaviest loads and judgments that can befall any poor creature. Lord, saith the prophet, remember not against us former iniquities. And again, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? And the reason is because that which the Lord forgetteth is forgiven forever, but that which he remembereth, it is charged forever, and nothing can take it away. Though thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. The third book that will at this day be opened, and out of which God will judge the world, it is the book of the law, or 10 words given forth on the Mount Sinai. But this book will more specially concern those that have received it, or that have had knowledge thereof. Everyone shall not be judged by this book, as they're delivered, though they shall be judged by the works of it, which are written in their hearts. As many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. That is, the heathens that never knew the law, as delivered on Sinai, they shall be judged by the law, as it was written in man's heart in his creation, which is comprised within the book of the creatures. But those that have knowledge of the law, as delivered on Sinai, they shall be judged by the law as they're given. Now then, this book, when it is opened at the day of judgment, it will, to those to whom it especially relates, be a most terrible law, far surpassing the two aforementioned. This law, as I may so say, it is the chief and most pure resemblance of the justice and holiness of the heavenly majesty, and doth hold forth to all men the sharpness and keenness of his wrath above the other two that I have before mentioned. I say both because it hath been delivered more plain and open, both as to the duty enjoined and the sin prohibited, and therefore must of necessity fall with the more violence upon the head of all that shall be found within the compass of it. This law, it hath in it to be opened at this day these 2 general heads. 1. A discovery of the evil of sin that is so against plain light and truth. And secondly, a discovery of the vanity of all things that will at this day be brought by sinners for their help and plea at the judgment. Alas, who can but imagine that the poor world, at the day of their arraignment, should muster up all that ever they can think of as arguments to shelter them from the execution of that fierce wrath that then with sinking souls they will see prepared for them. As to the first of these, the apostle tells us that the law entered that the offense might abound or be discovered what it is. As he saith again, I had not known sin but by the law. Thus it is in this life, and thus it will be in the day of judgment. That is, those that see sin, and that in its abounding nature, and in its exceeding sinfulness, they must see it by the law, for that is indeed the glass by which God discovereth sin, and the filthy spots of leprosy that are in the soul. Now those that have not the happiness to see their sin by the law in this life, while there is a fountain of grace to wash in and be clean, they must have the misery to see it at the judgment, when nothing is left but misery and pain as the punishment for the same. At which day, those little tittles of this holy law, that now men so easily look over and sin against with ease, they will every one of them appear with such dread and with such flaming justice against every offense committed, that if heaven and earth itself should step in to shelter the sinner from the justice and wrath due to sin, it would turn them up by the roots. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. If there appeared such flames, such thunderings and tempests as there were at the giving of the law, what flames and blackness will there appear at the execution thereof? And if at the giving of the law there appeared so much holiness and justice that it made all Israel fly, Yea, holy Moses, exceedingly fear and quake. What will become of these that God shall judge by the rigor of this law in the day of judgment? Oh, what thunderings and lightnings, what earthquakes and tempests will there be in every damned soul at the opening of this book? Then indeed will God visit them with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire. For behold, saith the prophet, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. The Lord will come with fire, that is, in the flaming heat of his justice and holiness against sin, and sinners, to execute the rigor of his threatenings upon their perishing souls. 2. The second general head that is contained in this law, to be opened at this day, is its exactness and purity, and strictness as to all acts of good that any poor creature have done in this life, whereby he in the judgment will think to shelter or secure himself from the wrath of God. This is the rule and line and plummet, whereby every act of every man shall be measured. And he whose righteousness is not found every way answerable to this law, which all will fall short of, but they that have the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ, he must perish. As he saith, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. That is, though men may not shelter themselves under legal repentance, cold profession, good meaning, thinkings and doings, yet all these things must be measured and weighed in the balance of God's most righteous law. And as I said, whatever in that day is not found the righteousness of God, it will be found a refuge of lies, and will be drowned by the overflowing of the wrath of God, as the waters of Noah overflowed the world. And hence it is that all the ungodly will at this day be found as stubble, and the law as fire, as it saith, from his right hand went a fiery law. And again, his lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. For as fire where it ceaseth doth burn, eat, destroy, devour, and consume, so will the law all those that at this day shall be found under the transgression of the least tittle of it. It will be with these souls at the day of judgment, as it is with those countries that are overrun with most merciless conquerors, who leave not anything behind them, but swallow up all with fire and sword. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. There are two things at the day of judgment will meet in their height and utmost strength, and they are sin and the law. For the judgment will not be till the iniquity of the world be full ripe. Now then, when sin is come to its full, having played all its pranks and done all the mischief it can against the Lord of glory, then God brings forth the law, his holy and righteous law, one of which will now reign forever, that is, either the law or sin. Wherefore sin and sinners, they must tremble with all that help, and hold them up. For God will magnify the law, and make it honorable, that is, will give it the victory over the world forever. For that is holy, just, and good. They are unholy, unjust, and bad. Therefore by this law the Lord shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Let no man say then, that because God is so famous in his mercy and patience, in this day of his grace, that therefore he will not be fierce and dreadful in his justice in the day of judgment. For judgment and justice are the last things that God intends to bring upon the stage, which will then be to the full as terrible as now his goodness and patience and long sufferance are admirable. Lord, who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. You may see, if you will, a few of the sparks of the justice of God against sin and sinners. by his casting off angels for sin from heaven to hell, by his drowning the old world, by his burning of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that after should live ungodly. For what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Moses seems to wonder that the children of Israel could continue to live when they did but hear the law delivered on the mountain. Did ever people, saith he, hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Oh, that ye did but know the law, and the wondrous things that are written therein, before the Lord caused that fearful voice to be heard! Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Which curse must fall on all that walk, not in all the commandments of God without iniquity, which none do, I say, but they that walk in Christ, who hath alone fulfilled them all. The law is that which standeth at the entrance of the paradise of God, as a flaming sword, turning every way to keep out those that are not righteous with the righteousness of God, that have not skill to come to the throne of grace by that new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. For though this law, I say, be taken away by Christ Jesus for all that truly and savingly believe, yet it remains in full force and power, in every tittle of it, against every soul of man that now shall be found in his tabernacle, that is, in himself and out of the Lord Jesus. It lieth, I say, like a lion rampant at the gates of heaven, and will roar upon every unconverted soul, fiercely accusing every one that now would gladly enter in through the gates into this city. So then, he that can answer all its most perfect and legal commands, and that can live in the midst of devouring fire, and there enjoy God and solace himself, he shall dwell on high, and shall not be hurt by this law. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks, bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty, they shall behold the land that is very far off. Blessed then is he whose righteousness doth answer every point of the law of God. According to 1 Corinthians 1:30, he shall be able to escape all those things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. For in himself our God is a consuming fire, and man out of Christ is but as stubble, chaff, thorns, briars, and fuel for the wrath of this holy and sinner, consuming God to seize upon for ever. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. End of part 4.